Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Nina Schuping. Welcome, Nina.
Hello.
Now, I have to say that Nina is joining us from Hawaii. But before we talk about why she's in Hawaii, we're going to go back and just get a little bit of your story, Nina. So let's start with, where were you born?
I was born in Boulder, Colorado in 2000.
And why were your parents in Boulder?
So my dad was doing his PhD at University of Colorado Boulder, and my mom decided to move out there with him. They eventually, in that whole over 7 year process, I think, ended up getting married. My dad finished his PhD. I'm pretty sure it was his PhD, like almost the day that I was born. And then shortly after I was born, we moved. So I don't really have any memories there at all, but yeah.
And where did you move to?
I moved to Southern California in Pasadena, which is Orange County near LA, sort of.
And do you know why you went there?
Again, we moved for my dad's work. He got a job working on a airplane that had a telescope in it. And at the time that was, he moved for work, and then we moved again for his work after that as well.
So how many times did you move in those first few years?
When I was four, we moved from Southern California to Northern California. And then when I was nine, we moved from Northern California to Portland. So I've moved a few times all within like the first 9 years of my life.
Do you have any memories of life in California at all? Any stories that you remember or people that you met or friends you made or?
Yes. I had, when I was really little, I had a few couple friends who I'm still sort of in contact with today when we went to preschool and kindergarten together. One of my friends, her name was Maisie. Her dad actually worked for DreamWorks and ended up getting an Oscar for his work in a movie. So it was the sort of your classic like LA story, like, oh, like I know a friend whose dad has an Oscar or something like that. And then in Northern California, I met my best friend. Her name is Erica, which is, I'm still very close with her now. She has a lake house up in Washington by the Bridge of the Gods. So every year, except for this year, I've met up with her. So we've stayed in contact, and I still consider one of my best friends, even though we met so long ago and we don't live near each other.
That is awesome. And do you know why you came to Portland?
We came to Portland because my dad, we want to be close to family. Both sets of grandparents lived in Portland because both my parents grew up there. So all of our family was there. So we moved up to Portland because of that. And also because my dad had an older sister, her name was Penny, and she had some disabilities, and we knew that, and they really wanted to make sure that me and my little sister actually got to have a relationship with her before it was too late. So we moved up. I think that was one of the main reasons we moved, close to family, but especially so that I could have a relationship with my aunt, and that my little sister could have a relationship and remember her. And then I think she passed away in 2011 or 2012, I think somewhere around there, or maybe even 13. I can't remember. I'm horrible with dates.
So you did actually have a relationship with her. Do you have a story about her that you might be able to share?
Oh, yes. She was a character. I remember watching many, many episodes of the show Love Boat with her, and her, like, for Halloween, dressing up as I think it was Princess Leia one year. She was very into movies because me and her would watch tons and tons of movies, musicals together, and that sort of thing. So I just have so many fun memories of us watching these shows together and then talking about them. She hated broccoli and vegetables, so I always would poke her buttons about eating her vegetables. Yeah, she was the best. And she loved Dairy Queen, and I love Dairy Queen. So that was another thing that that I remember about her as well. She used to say, "Eyes open for Dairy Queen," when she would be driving with her family and stuff like that.
At this point, why don't you tell us the names of your parents so we get that on the record?
Yeah, so my dad is Ralph Schuping and my mom is Jennifer Schuping, and her maiden name is Jennifer Harder. And so my grandparents are Bruce and Kathy Harder.
So that will help some people to know where you fit in this whole PMC picture. So that's great. What's it like to be a big sister? Now, there's a bit of an age difference, isn't there, between you?
Yeah, it's basically 9 years. It's hard. I think part of it was I really enjoyed being able to watch my little sister grow up from like infancy into a person, into the person that she is right now. I feel like I had some of the experience of being a parent without all the work of being a parent, but sort of like the reward of seeing her grow up and become her own person from the very beginning, which is something that not a lot of people have because they're too young to really remember the young stages. But also because of the age difference and how different our lives were when I was born versus when she was born, it's hard. I feel like I don't have like as close of a relationship with her as I would if she was closer in age, just because our interests are so different. I'm at a very different part in my part of life than she is. So I think I feel like I've missed out on having that, like, at least for right now, that sibling that's like your best friend and you're really close with. But I think as soon as she gets older and stuff like that, that I'll get that. It's just hard because I don't have like the traditional sibling relationship in the same way. I'm not sure if that completely makes sense, but it's difficult. But I'm also was very rewarding watching her grow up. Yeah.
And would it be safe to say that she looks up to you?
I think so. I don't know if she should, but I think she does.
So you've spent the last, about 11 years living in Portland, more or less. Where did you go to high school?
I went to Grant High School.
And what were some of your interests as you were going through junior high and high school? What were the kinds of things that you were interested in or that you were maybe looking toward after high school kinds of things?
Yeah, I initially really had no clue what I wanted to do when I was younger, sort of junior high. I was super into like interior design and fashion design. So I thought maybe I would sort of do something like that and sewing, like that sort of thing. I took some sewing classes and things like that. And I still to this day really enjoy that aspect. But in high school, I took some environmental science classes, and that's what really sparked, in a sense, this drive to do something about the climate crisis that we're in. And it really opened my eyes to all of these environmental issues that there are and tangible ways that we can work to start to fix them. So I thought about sophomore year in high school, I was going to be like a strictly environmental science major, something like that. But in senior year of high school, I took a class through Portland State called The Global City, taught by one of my favorite teachers at Grant, and that class was all about like urbanism, and it talked about cities and how the relationship between a city's like physical infrastructure affects the social infrastructure and how planning and design affects a lot of things like poverty and race issues and environmental issues. So after being able to read a lot of literature on that topic, I totally took my interest in environmental science and this newfound passion for cities and city planning and sort of blend it together to want to address climate change and the climate crisis and environmental issues through the lens of urban planning, which seems contradictory, but they're actually very closely related, and you can solve a lot of environmental problems by working with urban issues and changing your urban environment. So that's what inspired my degree now in college.
I was going to say, it sounds like the perfect segue into the next question of how in the world did she end up, because you're going to school in Hawaii, that's why you're there. So go back and tell us how you came to find out about this program and where it was and how you kind of ended up where you are right now.
Yeah, so I would say me ending up in Hawaii has almost nothing to do with my interests. While I knew that this was something I cared a lot about, I did not know if that was going to really translate into a degree or something like that. So I thought initially maybe I was just going to go into like environmental science or just biology in general. So I didn't pick any school really based on a degree program. I picked it mostly on size, location, and cost. And while I think I would have found a very good program for what I'm interested now, like at University of Oregon for a low price, I really was looking to have a different experience in college. I did want to go away and go be someplace else, be in a different environment, if not to just play and do fun recreational things in a different environment. And once I found out about a scholarship called the Western Undergraduate Exchange, that program allows me to get 150% of in-state tuition in Hawaii at the school that I go to right now. So it made going to an out-of-state school far more affordable. So that, plus the fact that it was Hawaii and sort of the right size school, I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'll find a major that fits. I'm just going to go and do it. Why not? I can always switch schools. And I loved it.
So what is the name of the school where you are?
I go to University of Hawaii at Manoa. So I'm on Oahu at the main campus.
And what's the student population?
About 14,000 plus around 2,000 graduate students.
So it's big.
It's big, but not huge. I think it's a pretty good medium-sized school. It's big enough to have the facilities of like the college experience without it being completely overrun by students, and you get to have more personal, good class sizes and things like that.
Had you been to Hawaii before you went to school?
Yes, I did once for a vacation, I think in seventh grade, had a ton of fun, and then visited before I accepted my acceptance to the school, just to make sure that the campus and that situation was going to fit for me. So two times. Oh, no, and I actually went to Maui with Bruce and Kathy, I think a year or two before I came there as well, and that was a ton of fun.
So it's turned out to be a good choice for you so far?
Yes, I definitely think so. It took a lot to get used to it. It was a pretty difficult transition, not necessarily because of the distance, but more because of the fact that the environment around me was so unfamiliar. I'm used to like going outside. I'm used to having seasons and seeing evergreen trees and like a very different sort of environmental feel. So coming here to like the constant summer and the heat and the sun and not being able to keep track of time through seasons really threw me off. I totally felt like this was not at all like who I was, because I grew up in an environment that was so different. I grew up skiing and there's no skiing here. So I really had to completely shift what sort of like recreational activities I like to do to keep me busy. So I felt in the beginning, I felt very lost. Like, oh, what? Like, I don't know how to do any of the fun things here. I felt overwhelmed with how different it was. And I attribute a lot of that to the environment, to the fact that it looks nothing like at home, and there's very little activities that are what I'm used to doing. But once I figured that out, and was able to go see, once I got a car and was able to go see all the places I wanted to see, I bought a surfboard, was able to surf, everything sort of clicked, and I sort of built up, in a sense, a new version of myself as, like, the Hawaii version of me. Like, this is who I am when I'm in Hawaii. And when I'm in Portland, I do other things. I like to rock climb and ski. It's something else. But it's been nice. I really liked it.
Is this a four-year university?
Yes, it is.
So you started last fall. Is that correct?
No, the fall before. This is my junior year. I'm starting fall of junior year.
So in the middle of last year, suddenly this pandemic started to happen. Tell me a little bit about what that experience has been like, both when you kind of discovered it and what happened as a result of it. For you're 20 years old now, right?
Yeah.
And I want to know what it's like for a 20-year-old to be going through this. And I'd really love to hear your version of it.
I think to some extent, what happened to me because of the pandemic is really not that interesting. I would consider it very normal. But when I first found out about it, I thought it was going to be either something that Hawaii wasn't going to be really affected by, and I didn't really understand the gravity of what the effects of coronavirus. I did not understand the death rate and how fast it spread and all of those things. So I really sort of wrote it off as something that I wasn't super concerned about. And then once I started realizing this was becoming a concerning thing, I thought we would maybe have a few weeks off of school, maybe a month, in which case me and my friends were planning to go vacation someplace else and do online school for a month someplace else, which would have been a ton of fun. But when that wasn't really an option, I continued my plan to go home for part of spring break to visit my family. I'd planned to do that anyway, so I just continued on with that plan since I still deemed it was safe to fly. I'm not sure if that was stupid or not, but it turned out to be okay. Got home, was planning to only stay for 3 full days, packed in a tiny little bag about this big with just an extra change of clothes. And then a few days later heard that the school was going to be canceled for 2 weeks. And I was like, great, I'll spend 2 weeks with my family. This is great. What a nice little break from school. Totally doable. I got this. And then within those 2 weeks, they're like, yeah, we're going online for the rest of the semester. And that's when I was like, uh-oh, like, this is really bad. I planned to stay only 3 days and ended up staying, like, I think 5 months, which is kind of really crazy to think about. But, I mean, that's what everybody did. Everyone sort of went home or they bunkered down with their roommates. And I just did the same. Did my classes, hung out with my family a lot, and that was really it.
Did you have your own room? So when you needed to do your classes online, that wasn't really a major issue for you here?
Yes, I did. I do have my own room. Love my room. It was big enough, desk, everything I need. But yeah, it was just really hard to focus. My house has never been a place where I can really sit down and get a lot of work done. For some reason or another, I just haven't really been able to, that hasn't been, even my room has never been like a productive space for me. So it was such a struggle to sort of be in a place that I didn't feel productive in and still continue to do all this work while dealing with the stress of coronavirus. And then a few weeks later, the Black Lives Matter movement with the death of George Floyd, it was just a lot of stuff that my brain had to process with very little energy and motivation to do so.
Have you gone to any of the demonstrations when you were home?
Yes, I went to, I think, 5. I did a, once with my family, there was a small march to the police precinct in my neighborhood. That was the first one I went to. Went to a few of the marches. I'm not even sure what month that was, a few months ago. And then more recently, at the end of July and start of August, me and my dad my mom once went down to the Justice Center to protest there as well.
Is this the first time you've ever done anything like that?
No. I've done a bunch of like climate related rallies and marches, either both in Oregon, also the Women's March, as well as, oh, there's another one that I forget. But yeah, but so no, it wasn't. This was very, I think that's normal for me to go, except with this one, the gravity and the weight of the situation and the necessity for an immediate change and a lot of anger, rightfully so, made this one of the most impactful protests that I've been to, similar to what the protests that happened when Trump was elected. That was the other one that I was forgetting. But yeah, I was feel very lucky to be able to be a part of and support a movement that I value so much, and in a place like Portland that needs so much change because of the very white racist history Portland has, it was nice to be able to try to voice that change in a place that needs it so badly.
And it sounds like you come from a family where this is not unusual. What does that feel like for you? Is that wonderful to be able to do this with parents, or?
Yes, I think it provides, again, a lot of people, some people my age don't have sort of the, in a sense, the political or support from their parents that share similar political views. And I feel very, very lucky to be able to talk and engage and debate with them about issues that we think are important, and having parents that support how I want to protest or demonstrate these things. So the fact that my dad came with me to the Justice Center, even though that was sort of a more violent situation and a protest that I think my mom and my dad wouldn't normally want to go to, they came because that was something that was important to me, as well as, of course, it's something that's important to them too, but I didn't want to go by myself. So them supporting me by showing up and doing that with me was, I don't know, I really, really enjoyed that and was very thankful for that. So I feel very lucky.
So I believe it was earlier this week that you actually flew back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So tell me what's going on in terms of classes. Are in-person classes going to start again, or tell me what's going on with you right now?
So tentatively, the university put out a plan about a month ago that stated that some classes would be fully online, some classes would be fully in-person with small class sizes and physical distancing between desks and things like that. And some classes would be a hybrid of both, where we would have one class that was online each week and one class that was in person to sort of reduce exposure that way. This plan was made at a time when Hawaii had very few cases, like between 0 and 10 cases a day, which is very different than it is now. Now we have between 100 and 200 cases a day now, which is crazy. It's pretty awful. But for me, that means I have two classes that are all online and one class that is fully in person, but that class is only once a week for 3 hours. So it's only once a week. And then another class that I go to that's a hybrid class that's once a week as well. So I have a little bit of it all, and crossing my fingers that I can do those in-person classes as much as I can. But I don't hold out very much hope that we'll be in person in any capacity for longer than a month or two. Like, I really don't see how that's going to work with all these people coming in from out of state.
What is your living situation now?
So I got it's not an apartment, but it's also not a house. It's a house that was split into two stories. My landlord lives on top. Me and three roommates live on the bottom. We live close to campus. So I have our own housing, mostly because the university basically told us, even though I had already signed up and was guaranteed on-campus housing, they came back and they're like, actually, no, you don't. Like, we're revoking it. Like, you don't have housing anymore. So then everyone had to rush to go get housing off campus. And luckily we found something in our price range, and yeah, feel very lucky to be in a safe environment with people I know, and yeah.
And you are starting your junior year, is that what you said?
Yes.
And what is your major at this point? What did you land on for now?
So I landed on an interdisciplinary degree. So that means it's sort of a DIY your own major. And I made myself a major in sustainable urban development. So I was able to handpick all the classes I see fit that I'm interested in. So a lot of geography and urban studies classes, a lot of environmental science classes, planning classes, race and the environment classes, things like that to sort of weave this degree that I would consider to be very interdisciplinary across a ton of disciplines to fit exactly what I was talking about earlier, my sort of passion of helping environmental things through the urban setting. And then I'm also doing a minor in GIS, which is Geographical Informational Sciences, which is very helpful with planning and geography and things like that.
I was going to say, it does sound like what you explained earlier, you've suddenly been able to put all of that, or not maybe suddenly, but been able to put all of that together into what you're actually studying.
Yeah, so I feel I'm so happy that that was the path that I chose. I could have chosen environmental path, and I would have probably done a planning major, except the school here does not offer a planning, an urban planning major for undergraduates. It's strictly a graduate school class. But they do offer a few classes to undergraduates in the planning. So I've taken some undergraduate level planning classes to mix in with my degree. And that has been awesome because all of the professors are graduate professors, so they don't have professors strictly for the undergraduate classes since they're small. So, which has allowed me to be friends with the professors in the planning department, and they've allowed me to take graduate level classes through the planning department if I choose to, and I've gotten work opportunities, and I've really been able to build connections and networks with the people in the department that I care about without actually having to be in that major and not having to be a graduate student. So I've worked alongside a lot of graduate students and these professors, which I think is a super unique experience, especially for somebody my age. I did this like freshman or sophomore year, which is something that is pretty unheard of for larger universities. So the fact that I have this bit smaller university and a sort of unique track opened this door for me that I'm very thankful for.
Where do you see yourself, say, maybe in 5 years? What's sort of a next step for you after you graduate in a few years?
That is a hard question because I have realized I don't really want to go into urban planning as a master's degree, which is what I initially thought I was going to do, just because I'm not really interested in sort of like the paperwork and the bureaucracy of the urban planning profession within within changing an already existing urban setting. I would love to be able to plan or help influence the development of places that have not been as developed as the United States. So I don't really know. I hope to bring my skills. I feel like I will be able to provide a very unique set of skill sets that will help me either establish programs already in cities that I think are beneficial for cities, including like vertical farming or solutions to homeless problems, things like that, or attempt to try to help the development of less developed countries or places to create sustainable cities and sustainable areas sort of from the ground up. So I have no idea how I'm going to do that. I hope that will come to me. I do plan to go to get a master's somewhere or go to get a PhD somewhere, but I don't see that happening right after I finish my undergraduate. I'd love to go do something else, something fun. I don't know.
This has been absolutely delightful, Nina. I am so delighted that we were able to do this. So thank you so much for sharing some of your story with us. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.